Good morning, New Life Church. It's good to be in the house of God. Are you guys ready for the Word of God? All right. Well, we're ending our series today. This is the last day, the last sermon in a series called Under Construction. And my topic is called Building Something Great with Your Life. Building something great with your life. All right. In the Bible, God often compares living your life to building a building. Okay? Let me say that again. In the Bible, God often compares living your life compared to building a building. I want to read some scriptures with you today. This is a parable that Jesus spoke of, and it's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Let's do this. Anyone who listens to my teaching, says Jesus, and follows it is a wise, like a person who built a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes and torrents and the flood waters rise and winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on a rock. So it's built on a rock. But anyone who hears my teachings and does not obey it is foolish, like a person who builds his house on the sand. When rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Amen. Just like with a building, would you agree? How many of you here are in construction? All right, in construction, great. So you guys need to say amen a little louder so you can support me so I look like I know what I'm talking about, okay? And I have a little bit of a construction experience, although I don't like construction. I'd rather do demolition than construction. That's just me, okay? The house we live in now, we got to be a part of building from grounds up and putting the foundation and everything. We wanted our house to be actually a little bit higher, the one that we build now. But when we started digging, it was too much black soil. And they said, you can't build a house on the black soil. You have to get down to the clay. You get to the hard stuff, okay? As luck would have it, when we were building a house, it rained for like a month nonstop. And every time they would dig the foundation, dig out the hole, it would rain and fill it. So they would put a sump pump. Pump it all out, and next night it would rain again. So guess what I had to do? I had to pray and say, God, please stop that rain, you know, so we can put a foundation. Because you can't build a house until you put the most important part of the house, and that's the foundation. And today, I wonder if you know what your life is built on. What's the foundation for your life? And if you don't know it, it's okay, because today you will find out what's the foundation, the greatest foundation. Just like with a house, you can build a strong house or a weak house. Wouldn't you agree? Or you can also build the same way a strong life or a weak life. You can build a life of greatness. You can build a life that makes an impact on the world. You can also blow your life and waste your life. Say amen, somebody. You can do great things with your life. Or you can do nothing with your life. And listen, maybe till this moment you've blown your life and you say, man, I messed up. It's not too late. God can start building in your life whenever you give him control of your life. He can start building. Now, you can do three things with your life. Number one, you can waste your life. Number two, you can spend your life. And number three, you can invest your life. And obviously, you know what I'm going to be talking about investing our lives into something. Well, let's talk about wasting our lives. Have you ever wasted your time, wasted your life? There's many ways you can waste your life. Maybe you were in a relationship and you just wasted life, wasted time. You knew you shouldn't be in that relationship, but you just stood there because it was comfortable and that's what you had at that moment. And you didn't want to make a hard decision. And so you wasted life. Prodigal son, Jesus told a story. He took all the money that he inherited and went and lived and wasted his life. And Bible says, implies that he wasted his life on prostitutes, on drinking and partying, and he was broke at the end. All right? Another way, second way to live your life is to spend your life. What does that mean? Well, spending your life is living a life for yourself and for your pleasure. Okay? It's not necessarily wasting your life. It's called spending. Well, let me give you an example. You can spend your life watching TV, okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with watching TV. I love watching TV. Love a good movie, chick flick, once in a while for my wife. Okay, not for me. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that, but your life cannot be just about that. Do you see what I mean? You can also live your life or spend your life reading novels. Okay? You can spend your life playing golf. You can spend your life shopping till you drop in. I don't know if it's the right way to say it. You can spend your life on a lake every moment you have. Okay? You can spend your life acquiring toys. Okay? You can spend your life on entertainment. See, nothing wrong with all those things. Those things are great. I love going to the lake. I love going shopping. I love auctions. That's my thing. Trying to teach my kids about auctions. They don't get it. They're like, why would you buy it to sell it, Dad? Like, so I can make a profit. What's profit? You know? Kids just don't get it yet. Okay, we'll teach them. Eventually. Isn't that bad? Yeah. So nothing wrong and nothing is bad about those things themselves, but your life cannot be all about them. Someday you will stand before a holy, righteous God, the King of the universe, the Creator of the universe, and He will say, what did you do with your life? And some of you will say, or I hope you don't say, I was good at golfing. I was good at shopping. I was good at going to concerts. I was good at eating. You know, I bet you won't say that to God. I bet you will hide and say, I was a good person, but you won't say you were good at shopping or, you know, watching TV. I was the best clicker. I knew all the channels by memory. So you can spend your life on yourself, but spent life only feels good for yourself in this life. It does nothing for you in eternity. Come on, somebody. Would you agree? Nothing. It does nothing. And listen, we need to spend time resting and enjoying life and going to the concert sometimes. But our life cannot be primarily. Number one reason we live cannot be, you know, just to get drunk on a weekend, man. You think you're better than me. Okay. That didn't go well. I thought it would. All right. Number three, or you can invest your life. Invest it into something that will stand for eternity. Amen. And the world says there is no eternity, so go ahead and live and drink and party and die. But if you know God, He said that there is eternity, and every man must give an account for what he's done, either good or evil, on the earth. Not for your good intentions, but actually what you've done. And the works that we do for God will last for eternity. Amen. Something, investing your life into something that will last for eternity and in eternity. And Bible says our good works that we did in Christ by faith follow us into eternity. Now, you can do good works without Christ and those don't follow you. Did you know that? You can do good works that are not of faith and they don't follow you into eternity. Because works without faith is all about me. I can do some good so people think good about me. Works that I do for God in faith, those follow us into eternity. All right, I just wanted you to know because some people say, I don't need God, I was a good person. Those don't follow you. Read the Bible. We are not saved by our good works. We're not rewarded our good works. We're saved because of our faith and good works done in faith. I messed some of you up today. Some of you are like, I'm a good person. Good works do not get you into heaven. Besides, nobody is good, Bible says, but God. So we're messed up. You can't say, God, yeah, I raped people and I murdered people, but I was a good person. I helped so many people, you know. One doesn't cancel out, you know, another. So be careful how you think. Paul says, and he says about building a life that matters for eternity. Listen to what he says, 1 Corinthians 3:10. It says this, because of God's grace to me, I have laid a foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. Okay, we'll stop there for a second. Paul says, I laid a foundation and you must build on it. And so we'll know in a second what that foundation is. So what are you building with your life? That's my question today. What are you building with your life? Are you going through the motions? Are you just an autopilot in your life? Auto cruising? Or are you building something significant with your life? Maybe till this moment you say, man, I've been cruising. I haven't done nothing. of real value. Well, today, this message is for you. You know why God wanted you to hear this message today? Because he wants to change you. He wants you to make a little course correction, right? If a ship is going against something, a rock, and you know, if you just do a little course correction, by the time you get to the rock, you'll be way off that course. Amen. That's how God is. He loves us, and that's why he loves to instruct us. And church is all about school. It's like a school. You know, you get instructed, you get educated in the Word of God, so you can go and live a life to the fullest. Amen. So, a lot of people are building with their lives. Some people build their bodies with their lives. Right? The whole purpose in life is, let me build a beautiful sculpt body like mine. Just kidding. Why are you laughing? I think it looked good. Okay. But really, or if you're a lady, you know, I just got to look toned. I got to look good. My behind's got to be firm, and my everything's got to be my stomach and my this and that, you know. And that's all good. You know, Bible says, you know, exercise is important, but it's not as important as exercise in righteousness. But it's important. Okay, so you can build your body. Your goal is to have a perfect body. Okay, but the problem with that is it doesn't go with you into eternity. It gets old. You get saggy. You get love handles, and you can't get rid of them, not unless you get some plastic surgery and stuff like that. But you can be a hobby builder, okay? You can build hobbies. You can spend your life building hobbies. Let me give you an example. I have a buddy who buys older pickups and cars, and he always thinks he's going to restore them. But every 2 to 3 to 4 years, he gets into financial trouble, and this is sad, but a tow truck comes and picks up all his stuff and takes it into a pond. And he says, I'll get it back as soon as I get some money. And guess what? As long as I know him, he never gets those vehicles back. But he always spends all his money, and he's always frustrated, always angry at everybody because somebody took his car. Well, he parked it on the street, and they gave him a whole bunch of tickets, and he couldn't, you know, move it because it didn't start, and they took him away. Then he gets new cars. So you can live, and see, there's nothing wrong with building cars and restoring them and selling them if that's what you like. I mean, you do see what I'm saying? God is not against all these things, but they cannot become the purpose of your life. Something bigger has to be a purpose of your life, something that can last in eternity. Amen. Can I give you more examples? You could be a career builder, okay? You could be living for promotions, climbing that ladder of success. And that's all good. You need a good job, career, business, whatever. But tomorrow, you could lose your job. Help me out, right? And so you spent 20 years, you didn't see your kids because you were putting out fires at work, and then they fired you. And you're angry, and now you can't make a payment on your mega house. And they tow away your car again. And you're like, what's going on? And life is unpredictable, guys. Change is constant. So what you have today might not be what you have tomorrow. And so if you make your career number one, you can lose your career, and then what you lived your life. You wasted. Guys, see what I mean? Make sense? One more. You could be a wealth builder. You can live and see how much more wealth can I accumulate. People do that, right? Next year, I'm going to have this goal. Next year, I'm going to have this goal. And you go and you oversee your wealth, and you try to build more wealth. But Bible says you cannot take wealth with you. Cannot take wealth with you. You could be a home builder, like a nest builder, okay? Nest builder, more right word for it. You can work on your home and build a white picket fence and roses everywhere, and you put all your life into a home. Nothing wrong with that, but if that's your number one, the only thing you do, that's why you miss church, that's why you know, and someday they're going to take you into a nursing home. I hate to say it, guys. And then they're going to have a big bonfire. No, I'm just kidding. And then they're going to bring the auctioneer. Some of you love to go to those auctions. I do, because people accumulate, like, I can buy a box of screwdrivers for like $5. And I know people put about 1,000 in there, you know. And so, you know, you could be a nest builder, but even your nest will get taken down someday. See, all those things are good, but they are not eternal. And they will not go and follow you into eternity. You can't stand before God and say, God, did you see a nest that I built? You can't do that. Did you see the cars that I have? Did you see my career? Did you see the body I had? God is like, look at you now. That body was a joke. So Bible says this, don't store up your treasures on earth, because thief comes and steals it, rust comes and rusts it out, and moss comes and destroys it. Store up your treasures in heaven. So God says there's something bigger, there's something greater. So how do I build a life in such a way that outlasts me and continues in eternity? Do you want to know? Only 2 points. Point number one, make Jesus the foundation of your life. All right, 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no one can lay any other foundation than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. If you didn't know till this day, if Jesus was not the foundation of your life, today you need to make Jesus the foundation of your life. Now, why is Jesus the safest and the best foundation? Because Jesus is bigger than any human philosophies. Well, let me just contrast that a little bit. You can build your life on Jesus. Bible calls him the rock. You can build your house on the rock. Or you can build your house on the sand. What does sand represent? To contrast it, right? You can build your life on Jesus or on something else. What does that something else represent? Well, there's many world philosophies of how to live your life, right? There's philosophies, there's psychologies, there's latest tricks of how you can live a happy life. If you follow some like magazines on Facebook, what you will see, it will say 7 ways to have better sex. New ways. I'm like, okay. 7 ways to have a better marriage. 7 ways to have your kids do this. And so the world tries to come up with 7 ways of how to solve all your problems. And those things are okay, listen to me, but they change. And there are so many of them like the sand. Bible says reading too many books will get you confused. How many of you went to college? You know what I'm talking about. They confuse you because they introduce you to all these philosophies. And they say, well, who's to tell who's right? Well, Jesus was born of a virgin. They killed him. And 3 days later, just like he predicted, he rose from the dead. That means I could trust him. Did any of those other guys, did your college professor rose from the dead? Well, he's important, but not as important as Jesus. So I'm going to follow Jesus. And if whatever he says, I want to do. Okay, so that's why. Okay, that's why. But you see what I mean? There's one foundation, Jesus Christ. And then there's all these other sand, like the sand. Everybody in the room has their own way of how to do life. Every professor, every intellectual, every newscaster, anchor person, a talk show, everybody has a way you should live. And if you go by everybody's way, you will be confused. But there's one way, one truth, and one life. And his name is Jesus. And they've tried to kill him. He wouldn't die. I mean, he died, but he rose again. They couldn't keep him. They tried to destroy Christianity for thousands of years, and it's still here today, and it's still transforming lives. It transformed my life and transformed many of your lives. And if you give Jesus the heart, not the organ, but your mind, your heart, if you give him control over your life, amen, he'll come in, and he'll transform it, and he'll help you build on a rock, and it will stand. What happens is this, when you build on a rock, have you ever seen those big lighthouses on the ocean? They stand on a piece of rock and you see this humongous wave come against it and tries to knock them down, and they stand for hundreds of years sometimes. Have you ever seen houses that have been washed away by the beach on TV? Yeah, so if you build it on a rock, it will stand. If you build it on Jesus, it will stand. But Jesus will make me not have fun. And I want to have fun. I like Jesus, but he's no fun. And you think Jesus will put a fence around you and make you live in this small little life. No, that's not truth. That's not the truth. Jesus said, go into all the world. Hold on. How many of you have been into all the world? I know, so you're not even following what Jesus says yet. Okay? Because Jesus said, I will take you from Judea, Samaria, and onto the ends of the earth. So don't tell me Jesus is limiting. He's given you the whole world. Help me out. As a Christian, you are called to go all over the world. How is that limiting? Touché. Amen, amen, amen. So make Jesus the foundation of your life. Just like every house needs a strong foundation, your life needs to be built on a strong foundation. Foundation will determine how big your house gets. Well, how big is Jesus? Is he small? Help me out. Is he tiny so your house will be this tiny? So why are we saying that Jesus is unlimited, infinite? So the foundation is what? Bigger than you are. Bigger than all your dreams. Bigger than all your thoughts. That's Jesus. As much as you can think and believe for and act on it, with God, nothing is impossible. They tried to build a big tower that reaches the heaven. God says, I can't stop him because they believe it. It's your small vision because your foundation is sand. You see what I mean? When Jesus is your foundation, there's no limits. There's no, you can put 100 million tons of weight on him and he'll still stand. There's no other foundation like him. So you can build on him. You don't have to be afraid that, oh, with God it's going to be small and no fun. I'm having more fun than I... Really, I'm the one stopping me from having fun right now, guys. Because I'm kind of boring a little bit. But it's not Jesus. He said, I have so many things you can do. You're just boring and you want to sit at home and watch TV. But it's not me who is stopping you. Jesus does not stop you. Jesus does not stop you. Look at the creation he made for you. Go enjoy it. He wants you to. What's stopping you? You're just boring. You're just little hope. I'm sorry. Being a little bit, just a little bit reality here. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to myself. My wife is like, can we do this? I'm tired. Can we do that? I'm tired. My kids are like, Dad, can we? Oh, I'm so tired. And God just convicted me and said, you're just boring. I gave you all this stuff to have fun and to live to the fullest and you're boring. Why are you so boring? What is foundation of your life? Jesus said, it's my teachings. It's knowing the truth and living according to it. In Matthew 7, it said, he who hears my commandments. Can we put Matthew 7:24 again? Just that one verse, I believe. Anyone who listens to my teachings, that's Jesus saying, and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. So, listening to Jesus' teaching. Are you listening today? Are you wise? Bible says so. Only fools say, I don't need to listen to his teachings. I know it all. Bible says no. He who listens to his teaching is wise and is building. And obeys it in another translation says, it's like building a house on a rock. Amen? So, Jesus' teaching is the foundation. The world teaching is the sand. Jesus' teaching is the rock. The world teachings is the sand. Just wanted to make it clear. Paul says there is no other foundation but Jesus Christ. Cannot lay any other foundation. The good foundation. You can do sand, but it's not going to last. So don't build your life on any guru, philosophy, newest psychology tricks. Build your life on the way, the truth, and the life. That's Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Point number two is this. Commit to the greatest purpose in the world. If you want to build a great life, this is key, guys. Don't lose me here. I know I've been preaching for 20 minutes, but don't lose me here. Please, focus. If you want to build a great life, you must find the greatest purpose in the world and commit to it. If you want to build a great life that matters in eternity, you want to find the greatest purpose in the world and follow it. What is that purpose? We'll get there. Just wait a second. That's good. You got it. Rick Warren says this. He says, there is no great people in the world. There is only great purposes in the world. Oh, there is no great people in the world. There is only great purposes in the world. Listen, I'm not done yet. Great people are only ordinary people who make a great commitment to a great purpose. I'm making that my life saying. I'm stealing it from Rick Warren. Amen. I'm stealing it. You can steal it from Rick Warren, yes. great people are just ordinary people who make a great commitment to a great purpose. That's why you can dream big dreams as a Christian. That's why you can have a great vision as a Christian, because God uses ordinary people. Don't believe me? He takes a shepherd. He took him, he says, yeah. He takes a shepherd boy, people, listen to me, and makes him a king. Makes him slay a Goliath with a little stone. There's no great people, just great purposes. And you just have to find that purpose and commit your life to it. The disciples of Jesus were plain, regular guys. They were fishermen. What did Jesus do? He called them and they committed to a great purpose. What was that purpose? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit in this place. Somebody, amen. The secret of greatness, Rick Warren again, not me, too smart for me. The secret of greatness is finding a great cause and let that cause draw greatness out of you. Let me do it again, do it again, do it again. The secret of greatness is finding a great purpose. You gotta Facebook that. Come on, somebody, get your phones out. The secret of greatness is finding a great cause and let that cause draw greatness out of you. Listen, you don't know what's inside of you, and you never know while you are just living for yourself. You're selfish and boring. But when you commit to a great purpose, God begins to draw skills and gifts and talents and ideas that you never knew you had. Great people are regular people that found a great cause. That's what Moses, being a prince of Egypt, listen to me, being a prince of Egypt, had all the pleasures of life. And Bible says he abandoned it so he could suffer with people of God rather than enjoy temporary pleasures of life. And you think about it and you say, why would you do that? You had it all. He found a great purpose. And when he found a great purpose that lasts for eternity, Abraham found a great purpose. He believed God. Abraham had a nephew named Lot. And you notice when God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, God didn't go to Lot and speak to him about Sodom and Gomorrah and what he was going to do. He found somebody who was committed to the purpose of God. Listen to me. And that purpose of God was for eternity, because today Jesus Christ came from the lineage of Abraham, and those who believe in Jesus are adopted into the family of Abraham and called children of Abraham. So today, name of Abraham still lives on and lives in eternity. There's Abraham heaven, Bible says. There's a lot. It's called bosom. And we're heirs. And the promises God made to Abraham are our promises. Guys, what are you talking about boring? Woo! Nobody's standing. I'm preaching good. Help me out, black people in the church. Those white folks, I can't get them to go. Help me out. Let's have a praise break. I'm serious. No purpose, no greatness. You need something bigger than yourself to draw greatness out of you. What is the purpose you committed your life to? And everybody here has a purpose. God has a purpose for your life. He didn't save you just to sit on your behind in church and go home. He saved you for a great purpose. So what is the greatest purpose on earth? Jesus said it's the kingdom of God. Listen to this. Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you. Your hobbies are going to be added. Your nest is going to be added. Your career is going to be added. Whatever it is you want to build your body and look good, go for it. It's going to be added, but it can't be number one. Kingdom of God has to be number one. Number two, it's the gospel. Listen to what Paul says, Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God that works, saving everyone who believes. The Jew first, and also the Gentile. Listen, God is offering you something. God is making you an offer. You can't refuse. You got to be foolish to refuse this, guys. He says, I'm offering you kingdom that will take you all over the world, and I'm offering you gospel that will take you all over the world. Why are we not telling more people this good news? Are we ashamed? Are we ashamed of the greatest purpose on earth? Listen to me. The greatest purpose on earth is bringing people who are far from God closer to Jesus. Hold it. You can say, no, healing people is more important. Well, you can heal them, but if they are not going into eternity with God, it's good for them on earth here. But God wants to do this. Save them first, heal them, deliver them, and give them eternal life. When you get them saved, you get the rest. When you get the kingdom, you get all the things that are added to them. You don't get the kingdom, you might get one or two things, but they don't last for eternity. So the greatest purpose on earth, I believe, and Bible says so, is bringing people who are far from God closer to Jesus. Hallelujah. How can you commit to that greatest purpose? Well, you can commit with your time, with your talents and gifts, and with your money. Amen. With your time. Some of you are like, I don't have any money, but you have time. You have a lot of time, and you can come. And as you guys know, we're in talks right now with our leadership team, and we're in the talk of starting a second service. Because our church has outgrown. This is summertime, and we're growing in the summertime. This is not normal, okay? In April and May, we peaked. We peaked. Our church couldn't fit any more people. I mean, we, especially the kids. Listen to me. And so in order for us, if we want to keep the lid on our church, we'll just stay one service. But we want to add another service. So we did a survey, and you said you wanted to come, some of you, to 9:30 and some of you to 11. And listen, we don't have all the answers yet. But one thing I know for sure, we need to raise up about 30 volunteers to help. See, some of you who don't volunteer, you're like, yeah, I got options. I can go to 9:30 or 11. But volunteers are going, what am I going to do? Who's going to take care of my kids while I'm serving at two services, you know? What's going to happen? You know, all these questions. And listen, I don't have all the answers yet, but we're working on it. We're consulting with other churches who have done this before, because we're not doing anything that hasn't been done before. You know what I mean? But how can you commit to the greatest purpose? You can commit with your time. You got extra time. Kids are out of school already. You know, I don't know. Maybe you can commit to 1 hour a month. Everyone could do that. Before the service or during the service, you know, 1 hour a month. We need to raise 30 volunteers to do this. We're thinking of doing this in the fall if we can raise the volunteers. And I know we have a person here who just raises volunteers like crazy. And I think like 10 volunteers in the last 2-3 weeks. So we got 10. We got 20 to go. 25, okay. So if somebody comes to you and says, hey, do you want to volunteer? Maybe say yes for 3 months at least. Serve. You can commit to a great purpose with your time. You say, I don't have the money. Well, you have the time. Do something with your time. And listen, if you're already serving, I'm not talking to you. Thank you. All I want to say is thank you if you're already serving. Because we have so many faithful volunteers who make this happen. You know why there's... thank you. You know why there is no kids crying everywhere in this service today? Because somebody is taking care of your kids. They're learning about God in their own way, so you can sit and focus. Volunteers. Our kids department has over 40 volunteers. Yeah, it's amazing. Our directors are amazing. Our teachers are amazing. You know, the band is volunteering. We only got like 3 people who get paid here, and none of them full-time. Everybody else is volunteering, and that's who make this church work. So volunteer. How? By signing up. Go at the connection desk after church. Get a volunteer's card and sign up, and it'll ask you, where do you want to serve? Sign up, because you can impact lives. Number two, you can give your gifts and talents. And that kind of goes into number one. What are you good at? How can you serve the kingdom of God with your gifts and talents? Number three is money. You know, it takes money to do anything. Money is not bad of themselves. It's the love of money. And I noticed that the last thing people give up to Jesus, they will give up their lives. They will give up their lifestyles. They will give up drinking and smoking and whatever, partying or fooling around. They will give up pornography. But the last thing people give up is their money. And God is not asking you to give him all your money. Just give something. Amen. So give your money. So you want to be a part of something greater than yourself. This year, over 170 people gave their life to Jesus. Last year, 362 people give their life to Jesus. These people will spend eternity with God. That's the greatest purpose on earth. And listen to me. Today, God is inviting you to be a part of that purpose. The greatest person. Now, I'm not saying other purposes and causes are not important. They are, but not as important as this one. Find the greatest purpose on earth and commit your life to it. Don't worry if you think you don't have the skills. I want to declare something over this church. In the next 5 years, guys, by God's grace, many of you are going to be in ministry. Many of you are going to be going all over the world. Many of you are going to be part-time in a church. Some of you are going to be pastors in a church. In the next 5 years, God is going to use you where you never thought he can use you. God will use you if you say today, God, use me. Isaiah heard a voice from heaven. Who will go for us? Who will speak for us? Who will speak for God? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. I said that 13 years ago, and look what God is doing. I had no education. I had nothing to give. Nothing. And God says, I just need a man who commits to a great purpose. And that purpose will draw. I remember one day, first time preaching, they invited me in my youth group to just say something. I thought I was prepared. I said like 1 minute sermon. And it had a lot of, you know. I'm like, I'll never do this again. As a teenager, I'll never do this again. But today I can speak for hours. 3 weeks ago, I was invited to preach in a school in Seattle, in one of the mega churches, actually. And I spoke for 15 hours there in 3 days. 15 hours. I didn't even think I could do that. But a great purpose will draw greatness out of you. Selfishness will keep greatness in you. And you'll die with your greatness. I don't want to die with my greatness inside of me. You don't want to die with your greatness inside of you. Commit to a person, a purpose. Commit it wholeheartedly. God has a vision for your life. And listen, someday God said that this church is going to be a big church. Many locations, many services. So get used to that. If you want a small church, then this is not going to be a church for you. Okay? But listen, we want you here. We want you here, every single one of you. But we want you to commit to a vision of bringing people far from God closer to Jesus. The greatest mission on earth. Amen. Amen. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head right now. How can you commit to a purpose if you don't know the person? Somebody said, you can know what honey looks like. You can know what color it is. You can even know the texture of it. But unless you taste it, you really don't know honey. You can hear about Jesus and even know what he looks like on pictures. You can know some verses from the Bible. But unless you taste him and make him the Lord of your life, you don't know Jesus. And so today, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to the purpose giver. Because you can't go and fulfill a purpose until you make him your Lord and Savior. And so I'm going to do this. I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, if you would like to open your heart and give your life to Jesus, you want to say, Jesus, come into my heart, transform me, and give me your purpose. On a count of three, would you raise your hand and raise it high? Listen, God loves you. Isn't it weird that you're in church today? Why are you here? Because God drew you here. Because he has a plan for you. He loves you. He cares for you. He has a better purpose, better cause for your life. And number two, he loves you and he knows you're a sinner. And if without Jesus, you perish. So he wants to come in and forgive you of your sins and transform your life. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to count to three. On a count of three, if you would like to give your life to Jesus, raise your hand and raise it high. Maybe you used to be a Christian, but you backslid, and today you need to give your life and recommit your life to Jesus again. First time, or second, or fifth time, it doesn't matter. On a count of three, raise your hand, raise it high. One, two, three. Please raise your hand. One hand, two hand, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Church, come on. Can we all celebrate right now? Stand to your feet and just celebrate what God is doing at New Life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God, for saving lives, from bringing people from darkness into light. We thank you, Lord. Is there one more? Is there one more? Is there one more? Holy Spirit is knocking hard at your heart. Your heart is beating fast. Don't wait till next week. Do it today. Give your life to Jesus today. Amen. 11 people. That's the greatest decision in your life. We're going to pray together. Repeat it to me. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. From this day on, I let you in, into my heart. Come in and be the Lord and Savior of my life. From this moment on, all my sins are forgiven. I have a great future, and I have a great purpose in life. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, I'm saved, I'm forgiven, and I'm a child of God. Come on, church, celebrate and bless God.